Welcome to worship on this, the first Sunday after Easter. This is the service for Sunday, the 19th of April. It's good to have you worshipping with us. To set the scene, today we're going to be thinking about faith and doubt. And the reading, no surprise, is about Thomas. To set the scene, I suppose officially I was Norman Jr., having been given the same name as my father. But Norman Jr. was almost never used. My dad and I were Big Norman and Wee Norman for most of my childhood and adolescence. Then, in my late teens, this changed to Old Norman and Young Norman. Actually, this pleased neither of us. Who wants to be called old? And I was a very young-looking adult in my early adulthood and always wanted to be seen as older. However, now, if anybody wants to call me Young Norman, please feel free, because I'll take it as a compliment. I might have struggled with being regarded as wee or young, but the person I've always felt sorry for is Thomas. Jesus said to him, "Stop doubting and believe." Ever since, he's been known as Doubting Thomas. If you read the resurrection stories, you'll find that virtually all of the disciples doubted one way or another, but only Thomas is left to carry the title doubter. I really hope that the story or legend about Thomas is true, that he reached India. As far as I'm aware, there is no proof that he did so, only a story passed on by a very ancient Christian community, that community in India. There's something satisfying in the thought that it was Doubting Thomas who, of all the disciples, carried the gospel farthest. Maybe even the thought that the one who struggled most to believe, when he did believe, had the commitment to go to the ends of the earth for his Lord. Whatever Thomas' story is, I feel a kindred spirit. As one who struggles to believe, I would have been with Thomas in need of proof. I'm glad Thomas was there with all his doubts. Maybe I can even call Thomas friend. Let's worship God now in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, on this first Sunday after Easter, we gather like those first disciples did in the days after the resurrection. For we too gather behind locked doors. Those first disciples feared the authorities. We too have fear, fear of an invisible enemy, a threat to us and a threat to those whom we love, in these days of the coronavirus. We know that courage is not a lack of fear, but to be faithful regardless of our fears. So it is we look to Jesus as we seek to be faithful in these troubled times. We seek the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. In prayer and in life, we declare the sovereignty of you, our God. We know that our future is in your hands, and we commit ourselves to living as your servants. When we consider those first disciples and their frailty, we are aware that we share much with them. For here in your presence, as we confess our need, we know that we need your healing touch upon our lives. For in thought, word, and action, we have doubted, we have denied, we have not been faithful. In sorrow, we confess and seek from you healing for our brokenness. It is with joy that we receive forgiveness. Jesus' words to those who repent are of forgiveness and restoration. We need that strength in our lives to know that we are right with you, for we face an uncertain future and stand in need of your love in Christ. But it is in that love that we stand. It is our confidence. We depend upon Jesus' promise, and we know that he is always with us, even to the end of the age. We seek the presence and power of the Holy Spirit within us and around us. And now, in Jesus' words, we use that great family prayer of the church. We say together, Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever. Amen. Janet and Charlie are going to read for us. The first reading comes from the book of Psalms and the second reading from John's Gospel.
The first reading is from Psalm 106, reading from verses 1 to 5. Praise the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Who can proclaim the mighty acts of the Lord or fully declare his praise? Blessed are they who maintain justice, who constantly do what is right. Remember me, O Lord, when you show favour to your people. Come to my aid when you save them, that I may enjoy the prosperity of your chosen ones, that I may share in the joy of your nation and join your inheritance in giving praise.
The second reading is from the book of John, chapter 20, reading from verse 19. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, Peace be with you. After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And with that he breathed on them and said, Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, We have seen the Lord. But he said to them, Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and put my fingers where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it. A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, Peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, Put your finger here, see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe. Thomas said to him, My Lord and my God. Then Jesus told him, Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Amen. Thanks be to God.
Thank you for those readings. You'll not be surprised to know that I have a significant collection of Bibles. When I was studying theology, we were encouraged to look at several different translations of the Bible and several different commentaries when looking at a particular Bible passage. And of course, it always helps to have a knowledge of Old Testament Hebrew and New Testament Greek. To my collection of Bibles, I've added oddities like the Tabloid Bible, the Street Bible, and the Doric New Testament. The first is written as if being reported in the more sensationalist of the tabloid press. The second, the Street Bible, now seems a bit dated. The language of the street changes. What was up to date 20 years ago no longer really works. The Doric New Testament is the one that works for me. because of the Elgin side of my family. There's something about reading in the Doric that makes the New Testament seem less holy and more real. What struck me when I read the passage about Thomas was that it put the first part of the story with Jesus' appearance to the other disciples, and then it begins a new section with the words, "a week later." For some reason, those words struck home. What did it really mean, a week later? They're there in the New International Version of the Bible that we use in church, but somehow didn't have the same emphasis. In the words, "a week later," there's something more than a measure of time. A week later is a week of Thomas not believing what he was told. Because it was written in language that I associate with people who are part of my family in the north, I think of real people. The Doric Bible helps me with that. The real people that are the disciples are a mixed bunch brought together by Jesus, not because they are a natural fit. They've been together for some time. Maybe we could describe them as Jesus' dysfunctional family. And by that I mean like any group of family or friends. The biggest and most exciting thing that has ever happened must have been central to their conversation. They could not do other than talk about resurrection. Well, apart from Thomas. We can be sure that Thomas did not state his doubt and then keep quiet. The very fact that his doubt is recorded means that it remained as a memory of the group. Perhaps we can imagine the exasperation of the disciples as Thomas reminds them that he needs to have this proved. He doubts the whole thing. "Oh, for goodness sake, Thomas, give it a rest." Or was it, "Can you not just be quiet or go away?" Then we have that event a week on from the day of resurrection. Jesus arrives as he did the last time. The doors are locked and Jesus appears among them. It's not easy to tell what tone of voice Jesus used. He begins with what was and is a standard greeting, "Peace be with you," as it is translated, or as it would have been said, "Shalom." What Jesus says to Thomas does not seem like harshness. There is rebuke, but I suspect that the tone was gentle rather than in anger. We might come to this conclusion because gentle words from people we love have more impact than a raised voice. And Jesus loved Thomas. What Jesus does for Thomas is give him what he needs. Last week we looked at the passage where Jesus takes a piece of fish. That was the proof those disciples needed. Earlier, when it came to Mary at the empty tomb, she needed to hear Jesus speak her name. Each and every disciple struggles with faith. We all have a tendency to think that others are more secure in their faith than we are, and that, well, if truth be told, I'm the doubter. Your journey to faith is quite different from mine. That's because God speaks to each one of us differently. My relationship with God through Christ is unique to me. Oh, we share common elements, I'm sure, but there are also differences. In just the same way, Jesus speaks differently to Thomas compared to the others. In these troubled times, where it is difficult to say with any certainty what the future will hold, I cannot conceive what it would be like to live without faith. But at the same time, I still have my doubts. I've not stopped being me. I'm glad of Thomas. He reassures me. Jesus still speaks gently and firmly to us doubters, and all I can say is, Thank God. Now let's turn to offer our prayers for other people. Let's worship God in prayer. Almighty God, we bring to you our prayers for others at a time of great uncertainty in the world. As we pray, we cannot but think of our own situation in the midst of a worldwide crisis. So as we think of our personal fears and what we're going through, we remember that this is a shared experience, that in many ways we are all in this together. People of different nations, people with different beliefs. We are all together in this. So with those many who share with us today, we mourn. And we share in prayer with those who mourn. We ask you to remind us of those numbers being more than just a statistic, but about real people, about families, friends, communities, and nations grieving. We pray for all who are ill and need your healing touch in these days. There are those we can name before you, but a far greater number whom we cannot name. But we know that you are with each. We pray for families and friends too, those who fear for the health and well-being of those whom they love. As we pray, we remember medical services of our nation and other nations. We seek your strength and guidance for all medical staff and hospital workers, and we ask for your protection as they risk their own lives in the service of others. We pray too for the fears that many are not seeking medical treatment for other illnesses and conditions, that people are going to hospital too late, seeking medical help after the time they should have. We remember that our health service is dealing with much more than just the coronavirus crisis. In the news of these days, we've heard much about the care sector of our society. We give thanks for the many carers who selflessly serve, often unnoticed in our communities and care homes. Our prayer is that they know our gratitude and that they receive the support that they need and that they have been seeking these last weeks. We seek your blessing upon all who care, be it professional or that of family and neighbour. We are also aware that the needs of the world are more than simply dealing with the coronavirus. The needs for peace and justice remain. The refugee crisis has not gone away. Poverty blights many lives. All that was there before is still there now and needs our prayerful concern. Remind us of the needs of our world. Help us to pray. Almighty God, we pray that you will guide us in our living and in our prayer, that you will guide us to know where we can help and where we can serve, where we can be the people you want us to be. Guide our actions as your people and to your glory. We ask you to hear these prayers and the many prayers that we say day by day, for we offer them in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour. Amen. And now to conclude, words of blessing. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always. Amen. Thank you for joining this service today. I wish you every blessing in the week ahead.